Oh, what an amazing clip and example from Oskar Schindler, who gave his life to save Jews during the war. And at the end, he just wishes he could have given more. And I found it a truly inspiring story and very sobering, and for me, made me realise how inadequate my love is for others. And this morning, we're thinking about growing in care as we continue in Paul's letter to Corinth. One commentator says it's a relief to pass into this clear, uncontroversial and interesting window into the day-to-day matters of one of the earliest Christian churches compared to chapter 15's disputes. And I can relate to that, as we have had some really tricky passages to deal with in recent weeks. However, it doesn't mean that this morning will be any less challenging for us. So first of all, why should we care? Last week we were being encouraged to be growing in our giving, to give generously and cheerfully. Our giving to God is a clear indicator of our hearts and an expression of our faith in God. And in John 4 we read, "Let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." And this is a powerful indicator of a church's health, how it cares for the body. And our primary care and love is to be for fellow believers. The love and care that we show to one another as believers is a witness to the world. It's a mark of a healthy church. And Jesus says, "Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples." And so much of our teaching in recent months comes back to what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And when people see how much we love each other, it should be so otherly, so counter-cultural, so persuasive that it should mark us out as disciples of Christ. And that's why within caring, caring comes within fellowship, and fellowship is one of our core values as a church and to be core values for us who are members. And I was talking to someone this week who's not a Christian, and they were saying how they'd not had a night out with their wife for a couple of years since their daughter was born. They are isolated. They just don't have any community around them like this. There's no one to help them. And so many people are in this situation. And we mustn't take for granted what we have, because we have something that the world does not have to offer. And so Jesus commands us to love one another. Love is the key to our whole subject this morning. Our obedience to Jesus' command is not to be out of a sense of duty, but as we come to know and be filled by the love of God, that love is naturally expected to be returned to God and to overflow to fellow believers and to our neighbours. The Bible says all the commandments are summed up in this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. And in 1 John we read, we love because God first loved us. What does it mean if we're not loving others as we should? It must be a reflection of our hearts and our lack of love for God. Why should we care? We should care because people have needs and we can play our part in meeting those needs. There are so many ways to show care. And this passage starts with a practical opportunity for God's people to look after Paul and to provide him with hospitality as he makes known his needs to them. And he says, after I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I'll be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I'll stay with you for a while, or even spend the winter, so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. And I really like these verses because sometimes Paul gets a bad rap for being harsh. He's a firefighter coming in to deal with so many problems, but he has such a love for God's people. And here a clear desire to have quality time and fellowship with his fellow believers. And this is the kind of Christian community I want to be a part of, where people look outward and make the effort to spend time together. And we all need to play a part in this. Hospitality is a spiritual gift that seems to be less obvious these days. It was one of my parents' primary gifts, and I saw it modelled as I grew up. Every Sunday, we had at least one person, an old elder in the church, came every single week, unless he was invited somewhere else. But there were others who would come along with him as well. It was the norm. And our homes are probably the greatest expense that we have in our lives, but also one of our greatest resources and assets for caring for others too. And I believe God wants us to use our homes, not just for ourselves, but for others too. But it does take effort and sacrifice in the midst of our busy lives. Reality is not all of us maybe will be able to do that at all times in our lives. But maybe we can go out with another family instead, as some people in the church do. Come here on a Sunday, go down to Coney Fox together and spend that quality time caring for each other. But caring costs. It can cost financially, and our time, and our energy, and our emotions too. This is what C.S. Lewis says, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. And yet it brings real blessing. Blessing to the person who receives the hospitality, but also for the giver. And if you don't do hospitality, let me encourage you to start with a little. It doesn't need to be a huge meal. Maybe you used to do more hospitality in your life, but you've just got out the way of it because of business. From the very beginning as a church, we took the radical step of not having an evening service every week. And one of the main reasons for that was to allow the opportunity for people to have fellowship with others. I know we can be tired at the end of a week, but let us look out for others and seek to share life together. Caring costs. Clive was asking people, he was telling me over this last week, how they learned about giving as Christians. And most of them said it was from their parents. And it's the same for hospitality. As parents, those who are parents, what are we modelling about hospitality and care to our children growing up? What can we do as God's people? We have a great team at the church here who coordinate care at KCC. Fiona and Irene are responsible for the practical care. Irene's going to come up just very shortly. Fiona is here. Could Fiona stand? Oh, she got out of it. I knew she would one way or another. She was desperate not to be in the spotlight. You'll see her coming in later on. But I felt it was important to hear from them when it came to the how part of caring. So I'm going to ask Irene to come up and just give us a little bit of an understanding of how it works at KCC and how you can be a part of it. Great, Irene, we are really appreciative of all the work that's done here for caring at KCC. Can you just tell us a little bit about what your role involves?
So I'm just a part of the team that organises help for other people. Don't deliver it all, but Fiona and I and Avril kind of help put that in place where a need is made aware or become aware of what.
Okay, and what are the different kinds of needs that we have been able to meet? And what are different ways that we respond to that?
Oh, there's been so many. I told you
when you started that it's not a huge job. It's just things that come up from time to time. And in the first couple of months, it was like a landslide of things, one thing after another.
Yeah, never believe a word Colin tells you, ever.
Thanks for that ringing endorsement. as I stand to preach. Anyway, back to Irene, thank you.
Apart from when he's preaching, obviously. The things that we've been involved with range from the obvious things like meals and shopping for people who can't get out and visiting people and walking dogs and taking people to hospital. Not all of which goes smoothly sometimes. I remember once I took somebody to hospital and lost them and had visions of having to come back and say to the elders, so I've lost this member of our congregation. Fortunately, she turned up and it all worked out well. But
I thought you were going to say you took them to hospital and they weren't wanting to go.
Yeah, you will go to hospital. It's new things all the time and things that you hadn't really thought about just come up, and there are millions of different ways that people need help, or and it's not even about needing help, it's about just blessing them in some ways.
What are the different kinds of ways that that's communicated to the church?
So that is something that we need to work on. It's something that we're aware we maybe don't do very well. One of the elders or somebody else in the congregation makes us aware that there's a need for it. It either comes out in the church email. Steffi's brilliant at the last minute. You say, could you think you could just do this for like in 10 minutes? And she's excellent. So there's the Facebook page. There is an email that goes out to the people that are on the church email list. And then oftentimes it's just something comes up and Fiona or myself or Avril get in touch with somebody to say, could you do this? But that's not always the best way, and we're kind of really aware that there are people who maybe are not getting the opportunity to serve in that way because we're kind of not making it known in the best way. So that is something that we need to look at and we need to consider.
Okay, what's been your experience of the support from the congregation? And we just want to be black and white and have an idea of the kind of numbers of people that would be involved in providing this support.
So in terms of the kind of things that we organise, I would say there's a core regular group of people who are amazing and I've never said no when I've asked them to do anything. But I would say, looking back, because when Colin said he was going to ask me this, how do we look back through my book? Things that we've done. There's a book. So if you've said no, you're in that book. No, you're not really.
There's
yeah, I'll hold a grudge for a while. There's maybe about 30 or 40 kind of people that would always say yes. But that's only people I know about. You know, there's much more that I don't know about that people do without having to be asked or without making a song and dance about it. It's just caring, you know. And I would say that in this church, there are so many people who are just really great at caring for each other and looking out for each other. But we can always do more, I think.
Okay. What is your desire for the development of care at Jesus?
I think, well, touched on the kind of communicating it, and that and by that I don't mean you know so and so has this need and everybody must know about it, because things are done anonymously as well. There are people here who've cooked for people that they don't know. They don't know who the meal's gone to. They don't know. There are times that people have been helped out financially, and the people who've done the helping haven't known who the person was. So it's not about making your need known to everybody. It's about making the fact that there is a need known to more people. And like I say, I think us developing that is definitely one thing that we need to do. But I think as well, a thing I've always remembered, I wasn't at church very long, and I remember being at a prayer meeting that Billy spoke at, and he was talking about this in a different context, but he was talking about it in terms of you drive a car and you look at the car in front of you and you concentrate on that, but actually you need to look up and you need to see what's ahead of you to avoid an accident. And I think, certainly for me, that's what I need to get better at, is kind of looking up and noticing and not, you know, that way God brings somebody to your mind or you hear something and you think, I could do something about that, or I should do something about that, but actually that means that hour I thought I had before I picked the kids up is now not going to be mine. And I think that's something that I need to get better at, but I think that's something perhaps a lot of us need to get better at.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for that. The Good Samaritan in the New Testament, of course, is a blueprint for care. And 2 weeks ago, some of you may know, I came off my bike on the main street on the wrong side of the road. I was a bit stunned and cut and bruised. And as I kind of staggered down the pavement towards the chemist, alongside me came Glenn, who didn't know what had happened, but when I turned around, could quite clearly see because it was bleeding nicely at the time. And he rushed home for his donkey, his estate car, and loaded me up on my broken bike and took me back to my inn to be cleaned up and looked after. So the Good Samaritan is alive and well. Thank you for that, Glenn. But do you know what? Glenn wasn't on a rota for caring that day. Thankfully, also, he didn't cross over to the other side of the road when he saw the need. The main reason that people don't care, I believe, as they should, is because they're too busy in life. And I have to say this morning that if you're too busy to care, you're too busy. And I believe if that's the case, God wants us to stop, and he wants us to stop focusing on ourselves and our own needs and look to the needs of others. How can we help? As a church, caring and loving each other is part of our DNA, and we are grateful for that as a family too. In recent days, when Margaret has been ill, she received loads of texts, visits in hospital, special appreciation that somebody from the church came to visit in hospital who just cannot cope with being in hospitals or doing visits. That was a big stretch for them, but we really appreciated that. Cards and flowers, visits to the house, offers of practical help, and WhatsApps as well. And also for us, when May was born again, being independent and self-sufficient, we felt we didn't need help and we could cope, but we were made to receive some meals, and we were so thankful for that, and it brought us real joy and love for those who had done it. So we're really grateful. In verse 10 we read, when Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he's with you, for he's carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. No one then should treat him with contempt. Send him on his way in peace, so that he may return to me. I'm expecting him along with the brothers. And so Paul doesn't just ask for help for himself and support, but for Timothy too. And Timothy was a regular associate of Paul's on his journeys, his missionary journeys. And as a young and inexperienced believer, someone who was a biracial Jew and Gentile, was a relative nobody compared to Paul. And Paul wants him to receive the same level of care and support because he is a fellow believer. And sometimes we need to make the needs of others known for their benefit, because sometimes it's hard for people to make their needs known themselves. And Paul goes on in verse 12, now about our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. And here's Paul encouraging others to get on board. Apollos obviously is taking a bit of persuasion before he was one round. And maybe you're here today and you may be just a little bit reticent this morning about doing your bit. But let me encourage you to enter into God's blessing in your life as you bless others. Verse 13 is something that seems quite different. It says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. And just a few words in the midst of this chapter, Paul presents us with the essence of the Christian message. And I agree with the theologian who said these words would sit well over the door of any church or Christian home. And please do not miss the fact that our caring is a matter of the heart, not cold obedience to a command. So do everything in love. If we care without love, it's an empty act. Verse 15, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia. They have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to submit to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labours at it. I was glad when Stephanus, Fortunatus and Achaicus arrived, because they supplied what was lacking from you, for they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. And Paul goes on to highlight particularly Stephanus here, his love and his example. Stephanus, who is one of the first converts with his family, stepped up into need and into ministry. And Paul wants to acknowledge and honour what he did. And we're not so good at doing this in Scotland, but I want to publicly thank Irene and Fiona for the practical support, and Avril on a pastoral level for helping to oversee, and all the caring work that is done behind the scenes. They have helped facilitate blessing for so many people in this church, and we are thankful for that, and they deserve recognition. Please give them a warm round of applause. Thank you. And some practical application. Only a percentage of people in the church here have actually registered to receive church emails. I was surprised that a lot of people in church don't yet have this. And from that group, that percentage who do get the information and emails, only a percentage actually open the emails when they come. I really want to encourage you to do something about that and to be active on that front. Because I'm sure we would all want to know when people need help. If we don't get the information, then we won't know. And so Steffi will be at the back at the end to help get you connected. If you give her your email address, she'll help you get signed up. So please get that information. We want to make it more widely known so that needs can be met. The other thing I'd thought of was, I don't know if you've got a church address list and phone numbers, but let me encourage you to get one. Again, Steffi can make that happen for you. Sometimes people in church ask me if a person's doing okay because they haven't seen them for a while. And I would say, well, why not drop them a wee text of encouragement? Don't just ask me, because otherwise that person doesn't know you've shown any interest in them. For young people, and not so young people, think how often you're on your phone and texting. I do it quite a lot. I don't know why you're laughing at me. But think how often you do it. And even as a young person, let me encourage you to maybe even text Ronan. He's away back home this weekend, back with his family. I've set up a little text here. And that's gone, a little text just to let Ronan know that I'm thinking about him, to encourage him and his time back home. Don't miss out on the blessing. I can testify to what people's support has meant to me. And I want us all to be part of that, to bring joy and blessing to others when we can. And don't cause others to miss out on blessing by being too independent or feeling that everyone else is too busy. Leslie and Audrey, who are ill at the moment, initially when they were at the church here, they thought, oh, everyone's too busy. And they had to be encouraged a lot to do that. And in doing it, they've loved it, and now they've got no hesitation. And it's great that people have been able to support them, and they have really appreciated that support too. I was reading recently an article about the barriers to churches going over 200. This was in America, so it's probably a significantly less in our culture. But the point was, the first point was that the church can no longer expect the pastor to be the one who does all the visitation or to be responsible for that. Because what happens in these larger churches as they get bigger, if they persist with this model, is that people start to get missed and people start to feel neglected. And so we have our home groups. Home groups are vital for care and support. And some home groups have WhatsApp groups and find them to be helpful. Again, only a percentage of people in church are in home groups. That's not always easy, I know. But please, please become part of a home group if you possibly can. Our home group has seen people sharing encouragements on WhatsApp, prayer requests and practical needs, which has been really healthy for us and helped us to grow in care. I actually got one just before I came out on our WhatsApp asking how Margaret was getting on. And if you are in a group and you don't have tech, don't miss out. Please ask for information to be passed on to you by text or verbally. We're having a care request email. It has now been set up. It's gone live, where you can send any need to pastoral and care support at curlisoncc.com. And we hope that can make it easier for people to make needs known. Sometimes it's hard to pick up the phone. I went to see someone recently and I said, how are you getting on? I haven't seen you for a while. They've been ill for 2 weeks and we knew nothing about it and hadn't been able to provide any help. I have to say we cannot promise to meet every need, but we will seek to do our best, and that will come out on our information so that you can know how to do that. So let us love one another as Jesus has loved us. He who laid down his life, his very life for us. It means looking outwards to the needs of others and to put their needs ahead of our own. So let us be a generous people, a people who are known for our great love, primarily for each other and also spilling over to those around us. And last night I just had this little thought. I thought that is a great quote. Probably someone's used it before, but this morning it's mine. And it was just this: no one can do everything, but everyone can do something. No one can do everything, but everyone can do something. And it's a corporate responsibility we have, but also a personal action that we should take. You don't need to wait for a need to come up to send a text or an email. Every day this week, why not take a moment to look at the address list or pray and ask God to put someone on your heart, to pray for them or WhatsApp them or whatever communication you have, to let them know that you care. Maybe it's someone that you haven't seen at church or someone who's facing struggles. And for me this week, it happened as I drove past someone's door. I thought, I've seen that person for a while. I must drop them a little text. And so a conversation began. But sometimes it's just a person that pops into your mind. Think of the time you spend on your phone. How much time do you spend using that to encourage and care for others? It may seem small, but it can be very significant for the receiver. Maybe have someone round for a coffee or arrange to pop in and see someone or go out together. It's not really rocket science, but it's a foundational change of direction, of focus, away from looking after me and my to looking out for others. Don't go to church. Be the church. That's not my quote, but it's a great one. Don't go to church. Be the church. And this is our witness to the world. It's an overflow of love that God has poured into us by his Holy Spirit, and a love that we are to show to others. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the practical nature of these texts that we've looked at this morning. I pray for each one of us that we would do something this week. We would stop being caught up with our own lives and think about others and love others and care for others as you have commanded us to. That others and the world may see our great love and know that we are your disciples, and that we may be able to point people to you. In Jesus' name.